This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, everyone. I am certified cat behaviorist Rita Reimers here with another episode of 19 Cats and Counting. Dr. Kelly Carnes is back. We're going to talk about the holiday season today. I'll be right back to introduce her right after this message.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting again. I'm your host, Rita Reimers, certified cat behavior expert. If you want to use the term expert, other people do, I don't. Anyways, I'm here with Dr. Kelly Carnes. She's a board certified small animal internal medicine specialist, veterinary leader, an educator and consultant. I can vouch for the education part. She educated me a lot. She's an adjunct facility at Lincoln Memorial University and incoming president of the Chicago Veterinary Medical Association. Wow. She's passionate about supporting people of the veterinary profession and educating pet parents, which is why she's here. Let's talk with Dr. Kelly. Welcome back. I'm so happy to have you back.
It's so great to see you again, Rita.
It's getting to be that season again, the winter holidays. There's a lot of them, right? Whether you're whatever religion you are, there's a holiday in December for it. And of course, everybody is celebrating Thanksgiving.
I'm in full holiday mode. I'm deep cleaning my house and I'm actually getting out all my decorations this week.
Nice, nice. I'm just going to have low-key holidays, right? Maybe next year. Maybe next year. It's just a year. It's my parents passed, so I'm still, you know, on that train a little bit. But we're going to talk about some happy holiday stuff and how you can include your cat safely in your celebration. What did you want to talk about first? There's a lot of things we can talk about.
Oh, where to start?
I think holiday foods, maybe.
Let's do it.
Okay. So we want to share our Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa dinner with our pets, dogs and cats, right? But there are certain things we really have to be careful of. What should we be really aware that cats cannot eat at all?
You bet. So there are some common dangerous foods for cats, some of which you might not think of as dangerous on surface. We have to be a little careful in feeding cats anything that's got a large amount of onion, garlic, or even chives. So the seasoning we might put in our stuffing or in our turkey, those things can actually cause anemia in cats. So they're a big no-no.
I read that about, the garlic and onions and grapes and raisins, right?
That's for dogs. Cats are probably okay with grapes and raisins, not like dogs. It can cause a kidney toxicity in dogs. Although in an abundance of caution, we're not reaching for those in cats either. We do have to be real careful with chocolate. Cats in large quantities can get a toxicity that can actually affect their heart and their circulation. But I think probably if we think about what pet parents want to give those cats, it's probably going to be more likely a risk related to the pieces of the turkey that are not the actual meat. So we have to be very careful with bones, fat trimmings, and skin, because those can cause a tummy upset in a best-case scenario or potentially a life-threatening obstruction of the intestines in a worst-case scenario.
Especially the bones, the cooked bones of a turkey or chicken, they splinter very easily. I don't feed my cats raw food, but I've heard you can give them raw chicken wings and that's okay, but a cooked chicken wing, no go. Is that true?
Well, the cooked chicken wing is going to have a harder bone. So the safety in a raw wing probably lies in the fact that it's more likely that the soft raw bone can be chewed and semi-digested.
Okay.
We do need to be a little more cautious in raw meat for potential for foodborne illness, potential bacteria contamination, just like with people. So I think the best bet is probably to do cooked, but to make sure that it's just that plain cooked turkey. So no spices, no bones, no fat, no skin. That's probably going to be the best thing if you choose to give your cat a little bit of what's on your plate.
Well, I love the skin, so they can't have it anyway.
We're not going to give it.
If you do season your turkey, the skin, if you cut down further, that meat is okay?
Yeah, as long as it's not slathered in a bunch of onion or garlic, we're probably good to go to give most cats a little bit of that plain cooked turkey or chicken.
That's good, because I'll have cats all around me when I think I'm just roasting a chicken for Thanksgiving, but they'll be all around me waiting for some. Teddy's here. Say hi, Daddy. So I'm sure the stuffing is a no-go, because that's full of things that they can't eat.
Yeah, I'd avoid the stuffing. Let's not forget that cat treats are also very well enjoyed by your cat, even when you're having a big meal at Thanksgiving. So again, I would say if you really want to give your cat something that's on your plate, stick to that plain cooked turkey or chicken with no seasonings, no bones, or give your cat a little bit extra of that cat treat that you know your cat really enjoys, or maybe a little bit of wet food if that's a treat for your cat.
I know it's silly, but I always give my cats turkey cat food on Thanksgiving. They don't know any different, but it just makes me feel good to give them some turkey. Mashed potatoes, probably shouldn't be giving them that either, because cats are obligate carnivores, right? They don't need all that starch.
They don't need the starch. They don't need the starch. They don't need the butter. I would probably shy away from that, as much as your cat might want to chow down on some of those mashed buds.
Awesome. So stick with the turkey, the plain turkey, plain chicken. Another thing, not so much at Thanksgiving, well, maybe, but Christmas and the Christmas tree and how we decorate it. Those things can be dangerous. Did you watch the holiday movie, Christmas Holiday, where the cat's chewing on the string of lights? We want to make sure your cats don't do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you know your cat. You know what things your cat tends to be attracted to or not. Christmas trees do come with a lot of real risks on a variety of levels. So sometimes cats like to climb that tree. I've had cats before that like to get right up inside it and go all the way to the top.
Yes.
A falling tree, of course, could injure a cat. Of course, there are things on the tree that could be harmful to your cat. Some cats will like to eat those pine needles, which can irritate the stomach or, in a worst case scenario, again, cause a disruption or a blockage in the intestines or even a puncture. And tinsel, if you are a family that enjoys tinsel and you have cats in the household, I would recommend shying away from tinsel. It's extremely dangerous. Cats love it. And swallowing it can cause, again, a life-threatening intestinal obstruction. And my last caution related to the tree is related to the tree water.
Oh, that was my next question.
Yeah, a lot of us that love our cats know that cats seem to enjoy any water source that is not their actual bowl. It's your water. It's water in the toilet bowl. And yes, they're going to be drawn to drink that tree water, which may contain, depending upon what you do, preservatives, tree fertilizer or lengthener, or even bacteria. And that can be harmful.
I don't even do trees anymore because, you know, I have 16 cats. I'm sure they would get together and figure out how to make the most destruction out of it. So I don't even bother. But I do put up lights and, you know, some garland and that kind of thing.
And, you know, if our Kitty Lovin' friends are saying, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? Because the tree is a really special part of our tradition. You know, rest, you know, no fear. You can have a tree. There's some pretty easy modifications you can do with all of these potential dangers. Again, rank them based upon what you know about your cat. But absolutely, if you need to go to a fake tree, that's one option. Doesn't need the water, doesn't have the pine needles. Avoid that tinsel and even potentially bolt down that tree or put a gate around it if you do have a climbing cat.
I've seen the gate around. I would also suggest that you hang any breakable ornaments up high. The ones that are dangling low, that's just too tempting.
So if you came to our house, you would think our tree looks very odd because for the bottom half of the tree, we only have lights for that very reason.
Yep, I would do that too if I was doing a tree now. Another thing too, like holiday wrapping and packages, those bows and ribbons, cats go to those like a magnet.
Yeah. Well, decorations are certainly abundant and everywhere during the holidays. So the ones that our cat friends, like kitty loving friends, should be concerned about would be, again, tinsel, ribbon, or garland. You know, those are all potential risks. We, of course, want to be a little cautious with candles. I've had more than one cat that's had their whiskers singed off from sniffing too close to the candle. And, of course, that's a fire hazard if the cat knocks over yes. the candle. A little cautious with electrical cords that can be an electrocution risk. And then again, some of those small decorations or ornaments could be a choking hazard if you do have a cat that likes to ingest things.
Yeah, well, I have a few of those. I don't do candles anymore either. Short story, I had a cat named Pumpkin, and I had set up a bath myself, candles all around. Well, Pumpkin decided he wanted to jump in the bathtub, and he set his tummy fur on fire. Thank God he was going into the water. He loved water. So yeah, we don't do candles anymore.
Me neither.
Oh my goodness. You and I were talking about you're about to have to board your dog. Let's talk about that, boarding a cat. That's sometimes not a great idea. I prefer the idea of pet sitters coming to your home, but let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So I think, again, it gets back to you know your cat best. There are some cats that will be totally fine in a boarding situation. And we can talk about some tips and tricks if you're going that route. There are those cats, though, who would think it's the zombie apocalypse if you brought them to a unknown facility. And my cats always seem to fall into that bucket. And so we do have a pet sitter who we trust who will come to the house, spend time with the cats in an environment that is comfortable for them. Now, if you are going to be boarding your cat, again, a lot of cats do great with that. I think some tips and tricks would be to make sure that you're securing the cat en route to the facility with a very secure carrier, not free roaming in the car, and bringing some things that are familiar to that cat. We all know that litters are not created equal, and cats have a preference. Cats obviously have a preference in what they eat. Some cats need to eat a specific type of diet, potentially even bringing something that smells like home that can go in to that kennel that the cat's going to be housed in, and then evaluating the boarding facility because they're not all created equal. And some of them are really designed to be fear-free friendly, potentially even certified as a fear-free friendly boarding kennel that know how cats are not small dogs and are going to make it more of a safe psychological zone for that cat.
Yeah, I would prefer a cat's only facility, not just because of the knowledge, but also the noise. If there's dogs there and they're barking dogs, that can really stress out your cat. Let's take a little break and then we'll come back and want to talk about a few other things having to do with the holidays and maybe some things I haven't thought of. We'll be right back after a message from our sponsor.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore advertising, so I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back again with 19 Cats and Counting. I am your certified cat behaviorist, Rita Reimers, here with Dr. Kelly, who is a regular on my show, and we're talking about the holidays. So we went through the food and the decorations and even the boarding. Sometimes people like to even travel with their cats. I've done that. Well, Y'all know I drove cross country with 17 cats in my car, but that's a whole other story. So if you're traveling with your cats, what are some things you really need to be careful of?
So as per when you're going to board your cat, anytime the cat's going to leave the house, safety first, in the right kind of carrier that is secure and comfortable for your cat. And I cannot recommend free roaming in the car, even a cat who is safe and comfortable on a back seat. That is a risk if, heaven forbid, there's an accident or you break quickly. And then sometimes a cat will unexpectedly decide to get up, and you would not want that cat to get under your feet if you're the driver. So security in the travel. And then, you know, a lot of folks will choose to take their cat on the plane if they're going somewhere. And I would just recommend that you are talking to your veterinarian early. Give us enough time so that you could take care of any sort of health certificate that might be required for travel. And you're also really diving into the policies of the airline to ensure that the cat is going to be able to get on that plane into the cabin with you safely.
Yeah, I once boarded a cat when I was moving to the Carolinas, and they put the cat, I had a cat and a bird. So the bird had to come in the cabin and the cat had to be stowed. I could just hear her crying. It was awful. So if you can avoid that, that's the best thing to do. But even if you're driving, you talked about that certificate. When I moved to California, of course, I drove cross country. I had six cats. And when I got to California, they had that agricultural stop. Mm. They almost didn't let me in.
Yeah.
So you have to be aware of that too. It's another reason to have your health certificates. What if you're having guests come in, right? Some cats don't like cats. Some people don't like cats. Some cats don't like people. What can we do to minimize the stress to your cat?
Holidays definitely bring a lot of activity. So folks will frequently ask, I'm sure they ask you, do cats get stressed during this time? So I think my default answer is absolutely. You know, cats rely on routine, and everything from visitors, noise, travel, and schedule changes can be very stressful. Now, having said that, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know your cat best. So you know the things that are going to be more likely to be triggering for your cat. So I think what I would recommend folks do is, knowing their cat and knowing what things historically have been a trigger, is pause to recognize the signs of stress, because your cat might actually be exhibiting signs of stress that you previously had not attributed to stress, right? So anything from hiding, under-grooming, or over-grooming, cats can all of a sudden get extra fastidious, and that's a stress response, kind of like a person who bites their nails. Appetite changes, accidents in the litter box. So all of these things can actually be signs of stress. So first, I think, is to recognize that. So I think if folks are saying, well, listen, the whole family's coming over for Thanksgiving and there's nothing we can do about it, how can we mitigate the stress to our cats? Well, provide them a quiet room with essentials. You can even use a pheromone diffuser. I am a big fan of Feel Away. Keep their feeding routine.
I'm not so much, by the way.
You have not had good experience? No?
Well, the Feel Away, not every cat can pick it up because it's a synthetic hormone. So, you know, if it works for your cat, great. But
kind of like catnip. Not all cats will respond to that either. But the ones that do respond to pheromones will do real well with this.
It'll help.
You know, keeping as many routines as you can with feeding, definitely supervising interactions with well-intended children or visitors. You know, I've had cats where, errors of my life with cats, where folks would come over and we would plan ahead of time and all the cats were moved into one segregated section of the house with all of their toys and their litter boxes. And we would make that change a little bit before everybody came over. So we're not doing it 5 minutes.
Well, that's a good idea. Yeah. There's the other thing too, when you have guests, I'm paranoid that somebody's going to let the cats get out accidentally. Because they're not maybe used to, maybe they don't have pets and they're not used to having to watch for that.
Yeah, that's right. So you probably want to let everybody know, depending upon where you've put the cats. And if there's a door that someone might go through, we've actually put signs on our door before. Please don't enter.
It's a good idea. I was telling you before we started recording, back when I was cat sitting in LA, we had one guy, he was in the entertainment field. So he had these huge Christmas parties and he would hire me or later one of my staff members to just sit in the room with the cat, you know, feed the cat, make sure the cat is not stressed. And so people would pop in and out and say hi. But it was definitely a unique experience. If you can do that, if you've got a cat sitter who will sit in the room with your cat and your cat likes the pet sitter, that's a good idea.
It's a great idea.
All right. So I think we've talked about just about everything. some fun stuff. What about gifts for your cat? What's some good things they'll enjoy?
I love gifting for my cats. Although we do have a running joke in the house that the cat is going to want the free paper bag much more than they seem to want the things I've chosen. But, you know, nevertheless, I'm eternally optimistic and habitually buying them things. I think, you know, good choices will be things that have a seal of approval or look as though they've been endorsed by behaviorists like yourself, veterinarian approved. In general, good choices would be puzzle feeders, wand toys, sturdy catnip toys are good choices. Now, on the naughty list, anything with a loose string, small detachable parts, or easily shredded fabric.
I agree with that. You know, the ones with the googly eyes, you know, they can pop off and they could eat them, which, you know, could cause some problems inside their little tummies. I also like to say, if you're at the point where your cat trees are really well loved, or you've got some toys that maybe could be replaced, that might be the time to think about that.
I love that idea. Let's give them an upgrade. Do a little spring clean.
Yeah. Like moving on up, right? Like the Jeffersons. You put a little caveat here for emergency planning. So what can somebody do? Oh my gosh, the cat ate some chocolate. The cat ate some turkey skin. What do we do?
Yeah. So first thing, stay calm.
That's stay all calm. I can do.
Yeah. So here's some options. So you're going to be making a phone call because knowledge is power. So you have a couple options of who you could call. You can always contact either the ASPCA Poison Control or Pet Poison Helpline.
Oh, I love them.
I love them. They're wonderful. So both of those companies are going to be available around the clock, and you could chat GPT or Google the phone numbers, and they will walk you through what you should do, which may lead to a recommendation you go to a veterinarian. Now, you also could call, depending upon when this happens, you could always call your vet. You could call an emergency hospital and get their advice. Now, if you call your vet, remember, they love you and care about you, and they may concurrently not be able to get back to you immediately because they're also taking care of a bunch of really sick patients that might be there in their hospital, which is why I always advise our kitty-loving friends that if it's something they've eaten, an ingestion, your poison control or pet poison helpline are a great bet because we know that that's their only job is to answer those calls, okay?
Right, right.
Now, if it's something other than an ingestion and your pet has been potentially injured, a burn, the tree has fallen on them, this is where, again, call a veterinary hospital that is open. There are 24/7 emergency hospitals open. Even if they're not super close to where you live, you know they're open and they can pick up the phone. Common sense stuff that requires you to get in that car securing your cat would be if your kitty is having any trouble breathing. Panting is not normal in the cat, so open up panting, you know, or if your cat appears to be in a lot of pain or is bleeding excessively.
Definitely. The other thing I like about the pet poison hotline is helpline, right? They've been on the podcast. You can call them as you're heading to the veterinarian. Sometimes they can get you started on some kind of treatment, or they can call your veterinarian and say, hey, this is what's happening, and they're coming in. That's what we need to do.
Ryu, that's a great point. And so I'll add on to that. When you call, that information will automatically be transferred over so your veterinarian has access to it. And that way we're kind of double dipping with efficiency, and the vet will then be able to get additional information from their veterinarians in terms of now what do we do. Sometimes, actually, I'll be honest with you, if you don't call Pet Poison Helpline first, but you show up at a vet clinic, your veterinarian may tell you that they recommend that they call Pet Poison Helpline. And so trust your vet. Your vet has your pet's best interest in mind, and they're not going to recommend that if they don't think that's best for your pet medically. Regardless of who makes the call, it's a one-time call. You're not going to be paying that service twice.
I agree. And just remember, like, your veterinarian's offices, even your emergency vets, if it's a holiday, they're probably running on a little smaller staff than they usually have, too.
Yeah, well, we try very hard to be adequately staffed to handle caseload. But in spite of that, we don't know what's going to happen. And the holidays are very, very busy because we're also in the emergency setting taking care of patients that could have gone to their vet, but their vet is closed. So yes, to your point, it could be very busy.
Definitely.
Now, I also want to make sure folks know, never, ever, ever give your cat anything. Even if you're like, oh, my cat ate fill in the blank, I'm going to give that cat some fill in the blank to help it vomit. Please, please, please don't give your cat
anything.
Don't
do that.
Always wait for a professional to give you a recommendation.
I agree with that. Self-treating, self-medicating, never a good idea, no matter what the issue is. I happen to have a wonderful vet I can text, but not everybody has a veterinarian like that. So just know, don't self-treat.
Do not self-treat.
Well, is there anything we haven't covered that maybe you'd like to talk about, or some words of wisdom you might want to impart?
I think we should pause and chat about plants. I don't think we've talked about plants.
Like poinsettias. There's a big debate. Are they poisonous? Are they not poisonous? I like to err on the side of caution, right?
Yes. So I know, and we've talked about this. I know you agree, but I want to make sure Kitty Love and Friends know that, because, you know, plants are not just a holiday situation. You know, that you could get flowers, you can get plants delivered to your door by well-intended folks wanting to wish you well. So it's a very common question. Which plants, especially during the holidays, are actually dangerous for cats? And I agree with you. Err on the side of caution that any plant or flower could potentially cause, in a best case scenario, some tummy upset, right? Now, when we talk about poinsettias, those fall into the bucket of mild irritation. So if your cat eats a little poinsettia, we might have a little vomiting, diarrhea, some tummy upset, okay? Other plants that are mildly toxic, hollies, very common, can also cause tummy upset and even some mouth irritation, okay? Mistletoe, same situation.
Let's talk about lilies.
Lilies though, where we get very concerned are with plants and flowers that can actually be fatal to your cat. So the big one we worry about are the lilies. Now, technically, lilies are lots of different species. So to be very technical about it, it is most of the ones that you would think of as lilies. They're called lilium or Himerocallis species. When in doubt, if it's got the word lily attached to it, make the assumption it's toxic. They can cause a rapid kidney failure in cats, even licking pollen or a petal or the water from the vase. So if you have a cat in your house, I would recommend you make your house a lily-free household. And if anybody sends you any plants, please check that those are safe before you bring them in, is my recommendation.
I agree with that. As a pet sitter, I've come into many homes at the holiday time and seen lilies or poinsettias. I always put them in another room, shut the door, and then I tell the pet parents why I did that. So we want everybody to have a wonderful holiday season, pets and people alike. I think that we've talked about everything that will help us achieve that goal, don't you think?
I do, and I want our audience to really enjoy this time with their kitties. It's a special time. I actually had some cats in the past that really seemed to enjoy getting dressed up. I would not recommend this for every cat, but you know that cat if you have that cat. So we have had our annual holiday cards, in fact, have our cats dressed up. I will leave you with that image.
Sometimes I get surprised, though. I had a 16-year-old, he's passed. I had a 16-year-old named Pumpkin, and I did a photo video shoot for Catster. And they said, oh, do you think he'll wear a hat? I'm like, I don't know. We've never tried. He loved wearing the hat. He sat still for everything. He was like posing for the pictures as if he read the script. He knew what to do.
Aw, that's
very
great.
Cute. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I'll make sure that this podcast gets published very soon so that people have a lot of time to prepare for the holidays ahead of time. And of course, I have to thank Mark Winter for letting me have this awesome opportunity on Pet Life Radio. I really appreciate it. Have a happy holiday. And remember, don't forget, every day is Catter Day. We'll talk to you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.